My message today is called Deliverance. Yeah. Deliverance. And this applies both to the Passover and to Easter. With the Passover, we're remembering the deliverance. We're remembering that on the night of the Passover, they killed the lamb, they put the blood on the doorpost and on the lintel so that death would pass over. So that death would pass over their house and they would be delivered out of the land of Egypt. Remember, that was the 10th plague. And when they received that, they were then let go. They were now out of bondage. They no longer had to be in that place. And so in Exodus chapter 12, 14, it talks about, "So this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance." So we're to remember the Passover and celebrate that that generation many years ago was delivered. But Easter is about today. And about receiving our deliverance. God wanted us to remember that He can deliver you from bondage. He can deliver you from the problems. He can get death to pass over your door. You can be delivered from death. He wanted us to remember that so that when He came and walked on the earth, we could receive it. Now it's no longer just remembering, but now we can receive deliverance. We can have the deliverance in our life that He can set us free from death and from whatever tries to come against us. And so for Passover, they're eating the lamb. And the lamb, there was very specific instructions with how to prepare the lamb and how to eat it. They weren't supposed to break any of its bones. It had to be like that. And for Easter, we also had the Lamb of God is what it was called. And John chapter 1, verse 29, this is John the Baptist speaking. He says, "The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, 'Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world.'" So we need a lamb. We need, in order to get atonement or to be delivered from our problems, from our mistakes, from our iniquities, from our transgressions, there has to be a blood covenant, an agreement with God. And it has to be in blood, meaning we're really serious about it. And so, for the deliverance of the Passover, we had the blood of the lamb. And we wanted to remember that every year, so we repeat that. But with Easter, what happened was the Lamb of God. This is now God comes down in a body, and it's His blood. And His blood doesn't just last a year. It lasts forever. So when we go under that covenant and receive according to that agreement, that blood, it delivers us. It delivers us from death, and it delivers us from sickness. Remember, I had you reading in Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 53, we were reading this last week. I gave you homework in verse 5, and it says, and this is talking, Isaiah was a prophet of God, and he was prophesying about Jesus about 600 some years before he ever walked on the earth. And here's what Isaiah said. Isaiah says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." So what he's talking about there is that as God comes down and walks on the earth to deliver us, to give us deliverance, he delivers us from transgressions. Any mistakes we've made, if we've wronged somebody, maybe on purpose, maybe by accident, we get delivered from that. Any iniquities, flaws, mistakes, things we've done, we get delivered from that. So he takes that upon himself. In return, what we get is we get peace and we get healing. This is what Isaiah is talking about. So this is the peace and the healing that we now get to receive. This is what it's all about today, is a life, freedom, deliverance from the things that try to plague us and prevent us from being who God created us to be. No man could do that. It had to be God. Only God can give that kind of deliverance. And he delivered the Israelites out of Egypt. No hand of man could have done that. It had to be the power of God. And no hand of man can deliver us from death but God. And so God came in the form of a man because no man could do it. And he walked on the earth, and he fulfilled the laws, and he overcame all sickness and all darkness and all falsity, so that we now could receive deliverance from this in our life. And we now not only celebrate the deliverance that he brought to the Israelites, we now celebrate the deliverance that we have too. Deliverance from death, that we now have everlasting life. We celebrate that God went into the tomb, but he didn't stay there. He came out on the third day. He was resurrected. I'm talking about Jesus, but that was the body of God that came down and walked on the earth. And as he was resurrected, he conquered death, and he conquered sickness, and he conquered all of those other things that try to come against us. Now, in the Passover, we eat lamb. For Easter, we eat Jesus. That sounds kind of gruesome, doesn't it? But listen to this. Listen to this. Let me read this. Here it says, this is John chapter 6, and this is talking about Jesus, and he's speaking, and he's saying, I am the bread which came down from heaven. That's verse 41. If we jump down to 48, he says, I am the bread of life. In verse 51, he says, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. And down to verse 53. Then Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Oh, we're going into a vampire movie here. No, let's go a little further. I'll explain this. Don't get creeped out just yet. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life. I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. But he's not saying let's get cannibalistic here, okay? He's not saying that. He is saying you'll abide in me. We can go a little further. Remember what he said just before the crucifixion, they had the Passover. They had the Passover dinner the night before he was arrested and taken to the cross to be crucified. And on that night, he celebrated the Passover with his disciples in the upper room. And they were all gathered together. And after the meal, here's what he did. He took the cup. This is wine in it. And he gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given to you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. Oh, good. So we don't have to be eating flesh and drinking blood, because he's now said, take the bread. This is the unleavened bread of the Passover. This is what you're to eat. And he took, matzahs. And he took the wine and said, this is a representation of my blood. Drink this in remembrance of me. And he's not saying to eat his flesh and drink his blood. What he is saying is he's saying, feed on the word of God. Feed, meaning, when we talk about eating, think about eating. When you eat something, if you go have a meal later, we're going to be eating a little bit later. And as you're eating, all of that food goes in and there's nutrients in there. The nutrients give your body strength. If you're eating good food, your body starts developing better cells. It becomes healthier because that becomes a part of you. Whatever we eat is becoming a part of us. And what God is asking us to do is to eat of his truth. To receive, remember, Jesus was called the truth made flesh. So God wants us to eat his truth, receive his truth. And if we eat the truth, it becomes a part of us. We begin to become truth. So now instead of just looking at the truth, we now begin to be filled with the truth. And that's what God wants. He needs his truth to be in us at a very deep level. So he wants us to feed on that. And if we go, so we're not eating flesh and drinking blood. We're receiving the truth that God gives. Remember, the bread in the spiritual sense represents God's goodness, God's love. God has two aspects. God has love and he has wisdom or truth. These are the two aspects of God. God cannot be different than this. He is not a man And he does not have the characteristics of a man, so he cannot be angry or upset. He can only be love. Now, we can have the appearance that, God's angry at me. You know, and you have that feeling, but that's not the way God is. His characteristics is he is pure love all the time, and he is always shining truth. So the bread that you're eating represents that goodness, the love of God. And the wine represents his truth. And so as we receive those, what is happening is we are now receiving God's truth. It doesn't happen in the eating of the bread and the drinking of the wine. That's a representation. And if we read here in John chapter 8, it explains that a little bit more. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants and have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say we will be made free?" Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but the Son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." So he's talking about us eating his word, the truth of God, receiving that, abiding in it, meditating on it, getting it on the inside. We started that last week. I gave you those two verses, and I said, go home and say those and really meditate on them. Get them on the inside, because we want to have the truth of God get inside of us. Abide in his word. And that's what sets us free. See, it said, look what it said there about the truth. "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." If you know the truth of God, that's what breaks us away from the bondage. It breaks us away from the transgression. It breaks us away from the mistakes. They call it sin. It breaks us away from the iniquities. All that stuff cannot stand upon you in the truth of God, in the light of God. God's truth is light. So when we receive that truth, we now become the light of God walking upon the earth. And we receive all this all through the Easter. This is our deliverance. Our deliverance came because God walked on the earth and opened the way for us to receive the truth now into our hearts, so that now the laws would be written on our mind and our heart, and we would be taught by God now, not have the commandments or these stones over our head waiting to fall because we made a mistake, but now the Spirit of God on the inside teaching us and leading us and showing us what the truth is, so that we can live a life where we are free from bondage, where we are free from the mistakes of whatever we did. And the great thing about it is God has given us forgiveness for anything that happened before, anything that we're doing now, anything that we will do. That forgiveness is for all time. The lamb was only good for the year, but the Lamb of God is good forever. For eternity, we have that. And all we have to do is invite Jesus to come into our heart to say, in other words, you're saying, I believe that God came and opened the way for me to have deliverance. And I want to receive that deliverance. And I ask you, Jesus, come into my heart so I can be delivered too. Because I love celebrating that somebody was delivered, but I want deliverance too, so that I can be free, so that I can sing wonderful songs and be joyous and be happy and have that kind of joy, not just one day a week, but every day, so that wherever I go, I can have that freedom. Say amen to that.
Amen.
Say amen to that. Now, these are the things that God has given us. Now, I gave you some verses last week. Did you do your homework? Did you say those verses in Isaiah 53, verse 5? That one, let me read it again so you remember that. Some of you are looking at me going, what are you talking about? Here it is, Isaiah 55, verse 5. "But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement for our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed." So we are freed from sickness. We have power over sickness because of what God did. Not because of what we did. We didn't do anything. We couldn't do anything. We couldn't deliver ourselves from sickness. But we have that. So, did you guys read that last week? Did you go? Yeah, some of you were saying you knew that pretty good. You were telling me. Okay, good. And the second one was from Romans 8 and chapter 8 and verse 11. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, and it does, the spirit dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead, and he is God they're speaking of, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. So you will have life. Death will pass over your house. Darkness will pass over your house. Not just your house, your life. It will pass over your life so that you'll have the blessing of God upon your life. So that the darkness cannot come upon you. Falsity cannot come upon you because you're filled with the truth. And that begins to change the way you see the world. We talked last week about rooting out the old image. That's why I gave you these verses, these two verses last week. Because we have an image of the world. And let me tell you something. If you're sick, if you have a cold or a flu and you're sick, that's a fact. It's a fact that you're sick. But what it says here in Isaiah, by his stripes we are healed, that's the truth. And we can believe the facts, or we can believe the truth. If we believe the facts, then we go by the evidence of what we see and what we touch and what we smell. If we believe the truth, then we believe what God said and we walk by faith. Meaning, we don't go by what we see. We believe that God said we have been delivered from sickness and we have, by the truth, we have healing and we are free from it. So you can live by the facts or you can live by truth. God is asking us when he is saying to eat my flesh, he is saying to receive my truth, to live by truth, to walk by faith. Don't let the facts begin to convince you and create the image of your world. Because you can get caught up in all the facts that are out there in the world, or you can believe the word of God and what he said about you. And he said, you are free. You have been delivered. You have the deliverance already. And disease has no power over you. Say amen to this. Amen. Disease has no power. Poverty has no power over you because he delivered you from poverty. He delivered you from darkness. He delivered you from all those things that try to stop you and plague you in your life. So you can believe the facts that say, well, Ted, I got nothing in my bank account. How can I be rich? Or you can believe the truth that God said he has made you rich. Now, when we start to walk in the light believing the truth, guess what happens? We break the image of the facts. It can be broken. And now we begin to live by truth. We begin to walk by faith. And that's why I gave you those two verses last week, because the image in our mind needs to be broken so that we now can begin to see according to the image of God. What has God been doing in his plan? Why did he come down and walk on the earth? And it wasn't like Jesus was suddenly accosted in the middle of the night and didn't know what happened. Some people like to think that. That's not true. He knew exactly what his purpose was. He had come down to walk on the earth so that he could be crucified, so that he could be in the tomb, so that he could come out of the tomb. That was all known to him. He knew he had come to do that. That was his purpose because he was from God. And he said, this is what I have come to do. And that opened the way for all of us to receive our deliverance because he is the Lamb of God. And so we have received that deliverance. But now we have to walk by truth, not by facts. We have to see according to God's vision, not according to our own senses. And that's where we are going. I want to give you some more verses again this week because we're going to continue. Now, does anybody have a report of something they saw happen? Does anybody have a report of something that happened? You want to give your report, Lee? Then you can't give your report. You got to shorten your report down if you're going to give it. I'll give my report. Now, God said, by his stripes we are healed. I was churning and bringing that truth in. I was abiding in God's word. I was meditating on that. I was letting it sink in there. And then I had a lady come to me who had a herniated disc. Now, by the facts say a herniated disc, you're going to have pain. You're going to have a problem with your back. That doesn't just go away. You got to have a surgery. Something's got to be done. That's the facts. But I don't go by facts. I go by truth. I walk by truth. And God said, we are healed. By his stripes, we are healed. We have the healing. So I began to work with this lady. And by the time I was finished, her pain was gone. She called me the next day and said, oh my God, I've never had that where suddenly the pain was gone just like that. I said, praise God. That's my testimonial for this week. Because you walk by truth. Now, we're going to continue to put the truth in, to abide in God's word. We're going to be eating that bread. That's the bread from heaven we're eating, the word of God, the truth of God. We're going to keep taking that in. We get to drink some wine, too. That's the truth that's coming in, right? And as long as we get his word on the inside, we're going to continue to break the images of whatever we think the facts are, and we're going to start to live by the truth, which means we'll be living in a supernatural way by the power of God. And what we are seeing will begin to change. So let me give you two verses for this week. Now, get out your paper and pens. You might have found a pen on your chair. If you don't have a pen, write on that. And in addition to that, if you might have a smartphone. My smartphone has like a little notepad. That's where I like to put my notes because I don't lose them. You can put it in there. I'm going to give you two verses this week. Now, these verses, again, what I want you to do with these verses, you're going to read them 7 times in the morning. You're going to read them 7 times at night. And sometime during the day, you're going to find at least 5 minutes to just meditate and talk to God about what these are saying. And that's because I want to get... Remember, the Word of God is like a Roto-Rooter. You know the thing they use for unclogging drains? The Word of God is like that for our brain and our soul. We get set in our ways and we decide, this is the way we are. This is the way my life is. But the Roto-Rooter, God's Roto-Rooter, his truth goes in there and it starts to weed things out. And it brings it, he starts pulling it out. Pretty soon he unclogs it. He wants to unclog it because he wants it to be open for his truth to just pour through you just all the time. So we got to root out the old stuff. And that's what we're doing by doing it 7 times in the morning, 7 times at night for 7 days. We're rooting it out. Okay, so here we are. Here's your verses for this week. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. And it says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gifts of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. We've got to stir. The Spirit of God's inside of us. He's saying here in that verse, we got to stir it up. We can go through life mediocre. That's why I love these songs. My spirit got stirred up. That joy and that love that was coming through those songs, my heart began to open. I started to feel the Spirit of God. People are going to say, well, Ted, those weren't religious songs. Well, that's how God works. He doesn't need just religious songs to do that. He can do it through people. When somebody's expressing and using their talents and their gifts in a joyful way, in a loving way, that's the Spirit of God working.
Amen.
And that will awaken something in you. It will awaken something in your soul to suddenly go, man, I got talent too. I can use that. Maybe it's not singing, not me, you know, but you've got talent too, and it'll awaken. You'll go, wow, I got a gift. I can use that. I got to use it. And that happens anytime we're around somebody who's using their gift in a joyful way, we suddenly have that urge. And that's the Spirit of God getting stirred up. Well, this verse is saying, stir up your spirit. Stir it up. Because if you just walk around kind of blasé all the time, well, life's pretty hard. You're not going to get a lot out of it. And that's not why God delivered us. He didn't deliver us 2,000 years ago so we could walk moping around. You know, he wanted us to get into the promised land when he delivered the Israelites. Well, our promised land is when he brings that blessing upon us and we can feel his spirit working in us. And we can feel that we're free to do what we were created to do. So this verse, as you meditate on it, you're getting, and he's talking about, he didn't give you a spirit of fear. The Roto-Rooter is going to go in and pull out anything that's fear-based. It's going to pull that out. That's not what God gave you. He gave you a spirit of power and love and a sound mind. I like that sound mind part because some people need to hear that. Some people need to know. He's given you a sound mind. The good thing is his truth will go in. And even if somebody feels like my mind's not very sound, it's gonna start to solidify. It's going to start to bring the truth in it. And it'll start to bring peace upon you and love upon you. And you will now begin to feel it and know it. So that's verse one. Second verse. Are you guys in agreement? You're going to do this all? You're going to do this week? You're going to let that go in there. Thank you, guys. Mark chapter 16, verse 17 and 18. Now, I talked about this last week, but we need to get this one in. And these signs will follow those who believe. These signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. It will not hurt them, is what it's saying. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. We saw that last week. I just told you a story about that. Somebody was in pain. I laid my hands on them. They recovered. So we want to get this in. Why? Because this is God's truth. The facts are, people are hurting out there, and I can't do anything, Ted. No, but the truth says, if you believe in what God has done and that he has given you deliverance, if you believe that, get that truth on the inside. And if you believe that, what's going to happen? Signs and wonders are going to follow you. You lay your hands on the sick, they're going to be healed. We need to get that image on the inside and root out the other image so that wherever you go, because we're not going to take no for an answer. Remember this? I was saying this last week. We're not going to take no for an answer. If God said that's his promise, then we're going to continue to press into his word. We're going to continue to meditate on his word. We're going to continue to call on his power. And we're going to expect what he has said here to happen, that the sick will recover. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And you'll be able to cast out demons, darkness, falsity. You'll be able to release that. So as you meditate on that, start to get a revelation of what does that look like? How do I do that? The Spirit of God will guide you and show you. There's been many times where Liza and I have gone somewhere and he has asked us to pray. Sometimes it was over a house. Sometimes it was over a person. And we felt darkness, demons leave. And then they felt relaxed. That place felt calm. Why? Because that's what God said. That's the truth. So we're going to continue to meditate on these words. Get that truth on the inside, break the old image of falsity, of facts, and get into the truth of God so that everywhere we go, we will manifest the things of God, just as he said. We will have the blessing. We will have the riches. We will have the health. We will have the joy, and we will have the love. And it's all yours for the taking right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Do, do, do.